As I prayed about what to talk to you about this week, this morning, I kept praying like all through the week, and by Saturday, the events of the week had started popping up in my mind. I think every parent's worst nightmare came true down in Casey, South Carolina this week. 6-year-old Faye Swetlick was abducted and murdered in cold blood. It shocked us all. I went to the grocery store down in Greenwood. It was like the day, it was the day they found her, the day they announced it. And you could just tell as phone alerts were coming across, it was just like somebody turned the volume down in Aldi and touched everyone. 2-year-old Anastasia McAllister was found dead from child abuse. Probably not more than 5 or 10 miles from here. What makes it so bad, there were 2 other children at this home. 3 adults and 1 juvenile have been arrested in connection with this. Anderson County Sheriff Chad McBride said it was more neglectful as evil and says the worst thing he's ever seen in law enforcement. That's saying a lot. My time as a ER nurse, I've seen things I wish I could forget. New things I wish I didn't. And when you have a police officer that's saying that, it's bad. In Belton, a 21-year-old pregnant woman and man were shot to death Thursday night. She was 37 weeks pregnant. Joanna, South Carolina, 3 people were arrested this week for a terrible neglect to children and animals. I was just talking to Robbie and Debbie earlier before the service, 2 drive-by shootings in Greenwood. All this week. This is one little part of South Carolina, 1 state, and 1 country out of hundreds of countries in the world. Just seems like the darkness keeps growing from all over the world. As I started praying about today's message, though, something came to me. The even scarier thought than the darkness is growing worse is that maybe the light in the world is getting dimmer. Thought about all the evil that seems to be increasing around the world, and we all come back to the question, what's this world coming to? I do. A lot of fingers point out, well, is this thing or is this thing? Is these people that believe this? Is this people that believe that? It's Hollywood. It's Washington. Sin and evil has always been here. It's always been here. It's human nature for us to try and blame someone or something. Some group or organization that they feel is running down the country or running down the world. And much as I didn't want to look at and think about it, I'm wondering maybe if we're looking at the wrong place. Sin and evil are like predators. They do what they do. They have since day one. They have since the fall of this world. There's a quote. There are a couple people that claim they said it. Edmund Burke, member of British Parliament, is one that said, probably most ascribed to him, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. I think that might be what the Holy Spirit was hitting at. Blame can't be placed entirely on the darkness and the impact of evil in this world. When God created us, there's balances. There's always, if you look at an environment when it's untouched, there's checks and balances. There's always someone to take care of this, to take care of this, to take care of this, and keep things in balance. To keep an environment going. With light and darkness, there's always been this balance to keep the darkness from being too bad. Are we out of balance right now? And those that claim to have the light of Jesus, this is toe-stepping. It was for me when I was coming up with it. Darkness and evil has always been a part of our world. We're fallen, it's filled with sin, and the Bible uses darkness to represent depravity and punishment, wickedness, trouble, evil, bad things. And I think it's human nature, from our earliest instincts, that we shy away from the darkness, physical darkness, because of the predators that lurk inside, that uneasiness and the unknowing. Just over time, though, we forget, I think. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 8, 9, that for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Paul tells us that we need to separate the light from the darkness. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. What happened? As soon as we accept Jesus, we become a light. Light in this world, something different. As soon as we understand Jesus died to give us eternal life and prevent us from having the eternal death of going to hell. When you rise from this death caused by sin, you become light. And as light is natural, we need to overcome darkness. We're so ingrained to having a light. When you step into a dark room, what's the first thing you do? Reach for a light switch. We've all come out of darkness. We've all been darkness, every last one of us. I have. Dark nature, sin nature. At one point in time, very comfortable in the darkness. A lot of us have issues that may go all the way back to our childhood that have held us back. There may be issues of personality, anger, frustration, addictions, that hold those little dark shadows in our spiritual house. There are going to be times when those shadows grow larger and they try to decrease the light in our lives. And that happens to all of us. All of us. And the spirit of darkness, it doesn't come from within. It comes from without, too. And it can be carried by others in your life. A lot of them even very close. Try to pull you away from the source of your light. As you grow in Christ, and some of you may have noticed this, you accept Jesus, then all of a sudden, people tell you you're acting different. They're acting different. They start calling you weak. They may call you hypocrites. They may call you so many things. They may pull away from you. And it's all to try and darken that light. It's all to try and darken that light that's in your life. Sometimes when you become a follower and you have to make those hard decisions, it's hard. Because it's hard to be of Christ in this world. And sometimes what happens is, best thing I use like an analogy. Does anybody like Capri's? The restaurant Capri's? I don't think I've met a one that doesn't hardly have windows in. I love it too, Jennifer. It's a, they have windows in it. It's an Italian place for folks that ain't never been to it. It used to be a chain. And you go in and it's dimly lit. And they have candles. And your eyes adjust over time. First couple of times I went in, I wanted to take a flashlight with me to look at the menu. But eventually your eyes adjust to the darkness. I think spiritually, we can do the same thing. That we adjust to the darkness around us instead of pushing it away. That we change our behavior to adjust to the darkness versus sticking where we're at and shining brighter light out. And when I say this, I don't ever mean you. I mean we. We're all guilty of it at times. It's just we're in a world right now where so much is being reported to us. Used to, when I was growing up, you heard about it in the evening news and morning newspaper. Now you're hearing about it as the moment it happens. And I think as Christ and God have been shoved from this world, the darkness is taking its place. And it's taking its place also because individual lights aren't shining. This is probably the smallest amount of scripture I think I've ever had for a message. This is Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And Jesus was talking about, this was his Sermon on the Mount. First 12 verses were the Beatitudes. Blessed are the brokenhearted. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus was giving rules and promises. This section, he was giving behaviors. The verse right before this is, you are the salt of the earth, but what good are you if the salt loses its taste? And with this, he gives just a beautiful, beautiful analogy. You're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand where it can be shined out. In the same way, let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I found myself at times forgetting every moment of my life belongs to God. Each minute is working towards a greater purpose, a godly purpose. A lot of us miss that. I have. How many of us have time envelopes or sections? I've done this. I still do it sometimes. I have school time, work time, church time. And if we're all honest, we do that. I've done it. And, at work, I'm one way. At school, when I'm working on school and at church, my mindset changes from each time to time, and not really realizing that's all God's time. Whenever I'm doing schoolwork or whenever I'm at work or whenever I'm in the airport or I'm in here, it's all the same time to God. But I forget that sometimes. We compartmentalize our life. There's a few hours a week that sometimes we spend on religious things according to God, and the rest we tend to keep to ourselves. The real you may not show up when you come to church. I think that's for any of us, me included. When things are going well, you got joy. The real you comes out when you're at work and you're dealing with a box of Fruit Loops and there have been times I have wondered, how in the world could you safely operate a motor vehicle to get to this point where we're standing here right now? They probably have wondered the same about me. I am not the same as I am in here. I have had times at work where, especially when I was nursing at the bedside, and it could get rough, and it doesn't matter, teaching, maintenance, what have you, we all have our challenges. Anyone that deals with the public, God bless your heart. Because it is tough. I have been with folks in a restaurant. There's one lady I work with. She literally makes me want to go up under the table. And it's tough out there. And you are not the same person that you are in here. We compartmentalize. And I'm the biggest offender. But what we do, when we do that, is our light getting smothered by the darkness of the world? Is our light being just shoved away and we're adjusting from the word to the world? This law to the law of the jungle. And does the world get a little darker when we do it? When I was coming up with this, I didn't like some of the answers I was having to give myself. I know the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we've had messages. I'm not quite sure why they've been put on my heart. we talked about the church at Laodicea, the hot and the cold and the lukewarm. Last week, we talked about the Samaritan, how the priest and the Levite goes by. And Hale and Jennifer, a lot of times, these folks know it. I pray for my message. I pray, and then a lot of times it's shown to me. I see it in people I contact, or there's a scripture that points out to me. And I really don't know what it's going to be week to week. And for whatever reason, these last two or three weeks, it's been about, I hate to say almost choosing sides, but almost an examination of where we're at right now. And by we, I mean me, everybody, church in America, where we're at. I don't know why this is being put on my heart. I think that the next year or two are going to be trying years, and we need to examine kind of where we're at spiritually, where we're at as a person. We are out here, and sometimes we forget that every moment of our life is a blessing from God. There's a 25 or 26-year-old young lady died in a fire the other night. Had successfully battled brain cancer. Died in a fire. We never know. Every moment is a blessing from God. Even when you're having your worst day, it's still a blessing. And I think a lot of times we don't really glorify Him like we should. I don't. Sometimes I start believing my own, news stories, and I forget that I'm here. Any prayer I say that is pretty to y'all, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Anything I get up here and say is from the Holy Spirit. If people think I got smarts, it's a blessing. There've been a lot of people a lot smarter than me. They ain't never ever finished school because they never had the blessing to have the opportunity to go. There have been times that I have dimmed my light to get with the world. And I think God has more interest in what we do in the church, outside the church, than He does in the church. In the church, we have a face and we're with believers and there's not really a lot of stress. What are we doing for Him outside the church? Some folks call it a secular life. What are we doing outside the church? How are we acting? We're shining bright, or we put the dimmer switch on. Try not to stand out too much. Grocery store, gym, school, hair salon, work. Those are where people are at. Walmart, Target, Dollar General. Those are where people are at. They're desperately needing a light. Are we being that light? Every relationship, every responsibility in your present, right now, think of it like, does anyone remember the old watches? If you took the back off of them and all the intertwining gears, where one gear moves another, moves another, moves another. All the little things. And to keep everything in time when it goes right. Even the smallest little screw, spring, or gear gets turned off, it affects the plan. So you may be sitting there thinking, or someone may be listening to this, God, how's He going to use me? The littlest of things, even within your own family. If you can be the kind of mother and wife that you want your daughter to be and your son to marry, you are doing amazing. Absolutely amazing. Don't ever underestimate what you do for your family, because these kids are watching. They are. And as far as guys, if we can be the men that we would want our daughter to marry and the men that we want our sons to be, you think about these couples. You think about the families. You think about how much better this world could be just for that. Don't ever think you don't have a purpose. Don't ever think there's a way that you can't make the light better. Just within your own family. Our neighbors are impacted by our daily walk with Jesus. And there's three ways that we can make our light brighter. First is a peace. Peace is something I struggle with. It's something I didn't have for a long time. True peace. Now I have happiness. That was a time in my life when I bought something new. Oh, boy. I got that first payment. Happiness was gone. Gone. Now I'm happy with the old van, old truck, and all this. And it's, but true peace. How many of you know someone that they just stand out to you because they are at peace with themselves? You shine. People notice it. People are drawn to it. Moths come to light. They live in the darkness, but they come to the light. Peace. We try and search for peace through so many sources. How many people use pills? Heroin, alcohol. How many billions of dollars are spent on self-help? And there's nothing wrong with that, to help yourself. There's nothing wrong with trying to be better. And there's nothing wrong with trying to have peace. How many addictions were started and maintained through, I just don't want to feel anything. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to hurt. They just want peace. Authentic peace stands out to people. And how do we get it? John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We're never promised a trouble-free life. Even in a life walking with Jesus, there's going to be pain. There's going to be loss. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that there will not be loss and there will not be hard times. Even the best, the strongest of faith and the best of peace in Christ, you're going to have loss. You're going to have struggles. But his peace says, I'm there with you. You may not feel me. I'm there with you and I am not abandoning you. I have not forgotten about you and I still love you. And I promise you that this will end one day. I promise you it will. That these things you are feeling right now, Revelation 21:4, will be a thing of the past. The sickness, the hurting, the death, the pain will all be a thing of the past. This is my peace. I promise you that this will end one day. When the devil attacks, what's the first thing he steals? Peace and joy. But peace stands out, and real peace, when it's there, shines on the lives of those who lack it, just like a moth to a light. The second thing is a healthy relationship. Earlier, I spoke of the moms and dads and husbands and wives. When you're struggling with a relationship, are you either attracted or repelled by someone that you think has a good relationship? You either like, they can't be that perfect, and you want to just, or you're like, wow, how they do it. Because sometimes relationships seem too perfect. Sometimes they are. The couple says, I ain't never fought. Really? Because Lisa and I have. I mean, I love her to death, and honey, you're listening to this. You're going to be listening to it later. I love you, but you know it's true. We have different personalities. She's very detail-oriented. It's done. And she corrects me on that no, it's not done. And my sister-in-law is smiling because I think she can see that. But I think we have a good relationship. And I think a strong relationship gives you that support you need to be able to shine. To be able to be who you are. Because if you're insecure in your relationship and you're struggling with it, and I've been there. I'm divorced. And my ex-wife and I got to the point where I was so insecure and I was so struggling with that there was no light. Because I was doing everything I could do to survive. And there's no light shining when there's nothing happy at home. A strong relationship does a couple of different things. Gives you the security and support you need to be yourself and explore your walk with Jesus. And it gives you peace, which helps that light to shine a little bit better. Also, if you have a family and you're raising children, they get to see this normal, that mamas and daddies, they disagree sometimes, but they love each other and they work it out. And they're there for each other. When the water heater breaks, or when mama gets a bonus from work, or wherever, good or bad, they're there. You give them an example of what is going on, of what a good relationship looks like. For the little girls, you give them an example that dad treats mama with respect. God knows that's needed in this world. And little boys can see this real man that treats a woman with respect. And there's going to be disagreements, but this is how we're supposed to be. And those stronger relationships, you think about how much energy is spent on struggling relationships right now. You only have so much to go around. You're not shining because you're trying to survive. And if there's anyone that's listening to this or going to be listening to this, they're struggling with a relationship right now. Struggles are common. It's everyday life. Don't give up on it. Now, if it's an abusive relationship, something like that, get out. But if it struggles, it could just be from lack of understanding one to the other. You understand, you get that straightened out, you strengthen that relationship, you'll have peace, more peace, and you provide a better home for your kids. And it could be just more than your marriage. It could be inside your family. It could be at work. There's a lot of relationships in, because we're meant to be social folks. We're meant to be social here in church. We're meant to be social out here. And all these relationships, they can pull away from you. Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's hard to do, like we talked about last week. But when you can strengthen those relationships with others, you have more energy to let your light shine. You grow deeper in the word. You grow deeper in your walk. And people notice it. And character. Character, what do you do when there ain't nobody paying attention? That's what character is. You do what God thinks right. Or do you do what that little devil on your shoulder is telling you? Yeah, I think for most of us, it's a mix. If we're really honest, it's a little mix. And we've all had those times that we probably have just popped in our heads. Yeah, wish I hadn't done that. And we went ahead and did it anyway. And that's just human. That's human nature. But God looks at what's inside. When Samuel was going to the sons of Jesse to crown the next king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16:7. Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I reject him. The Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks for the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The real integrity is doing the right thing, knowing that nobody's going to know whether you did or not. The integrity strengthens the relationship. The relationship strengthens the peace. Shines the light brighter. When it can be such a rare thing at times, it draws people's curiosity. Why'd you turn that $10 in? Or why did you do this? Why'd you help that person? They can't help you. And there are times that you can't help. There are times where you are just strapped for cash and you can't help. There are times where you know, it may not be monetary. Because I know we're at that point right now with the church. But it's But there are ways, though, that you can. It might be a kind word. It might be a bottle of water. It might be, I don't have much, but let me carry you to McDonald's, buy a hamburger for you or something. And it's not for credit. It's just because you know it's right in your heart. It's an opportunity for us to let people see God through us. When was the last time any of us prayed to God that His light would shine through us? It's been a while for me. I pray a lot for the Holy Spirit to use me and work through me. But I have not prayed in a while that our light, that His light should shine through me. So they might see God's works and glorify God in heaven. True peace, solid relationships, and having that character that God intended for us to have intensifies our spiritual light in this world. When we're looking at the bad news and we're looking at the darkness will envelop anything where there's not light. Sun goes down, the darkness comes out, is the nature of things. Where there's spiritual light, darkness can't exist. We've been gone too long from the school boards. We've been gone too long from the local elections. We've been gone too long from pulling a cross out and having it around our necks. We've been gone too long from saying blessings in these public places. We've been gone so long that the darkness is coming in. It's doing what it should do. And we have to ask as we go to prayer, are we doing what we should do? Can I ask everybody to stand with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we come to you asking, let your light shine through us, Father. We see the darkness of this world. Father, help us to show people we're Christians instead of telling them. When we tell them, we invite hypocrisy. We invite disdain. We show them, Father, and we invite them to you. Father, help our lives to shine. Father, put your peace in our hearts and help us to anchor it to our hearts. Father, we're struggling in relationships. Help us to strengthen those relationships. Father, help us to see what the other person is going through. Help us to see the other person's side. Father, help us remember why we love these folks and help us to strengthen our relationships for our mates, for our friends, for our children. And Father, let your words be tattooed on our hearts as we are faced with decisions. Help us do the right thing as though you're looking at everything we do. Father, lead us in our words, lead us in our actions, lead us in our thoughts. And Father, just through a few families, help us shine our lights and help us to carry them out of these walls, out into this dark world. And Father, help us to be like lit candles. And as we touch candles that aren't lit, help us to light them till this world shines again. And this darkness is what's in hiding, not your light. To where when we hear the violence, it's the exception more than the rule. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the songs are playing, the altars are open. If something's laying on your heart, pray about it. Come up here. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just pray.